Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I guarded them. And none of them was lost except the son of destruction, so that scripture might be fulfilled. But now, I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world, any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And I consecrate myself for them, so that they may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we continue with the valedictories of Jesus in the upper room and St. Paul in the port of Ephesus called Miletus. Jesus prayed these words out loud, and thanks be to God, St. John was paying attention. And he did so precisely so that his joy in us might be complete. This prayer of Jesus for us is supposed to fill us with joy. One of the reasons why it's supposed to fill us with joy is Jesus describes for us the grace that God wants to give so that, as we heard in the first part of his priestly prayer yesterday, the Son may be glorified and give glory to the Father precisely through us, through our cooperation with the very things that Jesus asks for. Today we enter more deeply into the way that Jesus wants us to become the glory of the Father and the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the way that he wishes for us to discover that joy. First thing he begs for is that we will be kept in the name of God. We begin this Mass, we finish it, we do so many things throughout the day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To do anything in the name is to do it in the person. And Jesus is asking for the help that we might maintain that communion with the Blessed Trinity. And in that communion, to have a real communion with each other. That we may be one just as the persons of the Blessed Trinity are one. Which is a prayer that is so far beyond even our understanding that we wouldn't be able to believe it unless Jesus was asking it. But it's possible by the power of God if we allow it. To keep us in his name, to tend us, is to protect us. And Jesus describes that this isn't going to be easy. There are going to be temptations from the one who slithers around trying to thwart God's plan and our salvation and sanctification. Jesus prayed, when I was with them, I protected them as their good shepherd. I guarded them. None of them was lost, except the one we had foreseen would be lost. But now, since I'm coming to you, I ask you to keep them from the evil one. What a very powerful prayer this is. Jesus taught us to pray it when we turn to the Father. Free us from the evil one. But Jesus himself, before he taught us those words, was constantly praying that we might be kept safe from sin. Jesus wants our holiness, our separation from sin, to be part of the Father's glory and our joy. And he's praying for it in the perpetual upper room. Third thing Jesus says is the way we will be protected. I gave them your word. Later he would say, consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. whole concept of consecration in the biblical mentality, but also the church. It's a twofold action. Actually, it's a threefold action. The first is satchir. We are cut off from being of the world. Second is con, in order precisely to be with the Lord. But then, as Pope Benedict used to stress, that whole cutting off in order to be with has a purpose, so that we can continue the Lord's mission. And that's why Jesus here will say, just as you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. He separates us from worldliness in order to enter into the Trinity so that we can continue the Trinity's mission for the glorification of the Lord through helping people come fully alive. But it's that word that separates us, that two-edged sword that cuts us apart, so that we will know God's word to thwart the temptations of the devil, just like Jesus, by the power of God's word, did so in the desert. And then a very important point, which he repeats, so great was his emphasis, and this is very timely today. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Some scripture scholars just said it was a tired monk, probably at 6:10 in the morning, who copied a line a second time. I don't think so. I think Jesus emphasized it. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Now, Jesus didn't belong to the world. We know that. And Jesus is saying something startling. We don't belong to the world any more than he did. When we're united with him, we can be in the world but not of it. Why is this so important? I've got this whole Rod Dreher Benedict option, which you probably heard of today. That the only way that we're going to keep the faith is to run away, because culture's going into the sewer and we've got no other option but then to withdraw. Rod had converted to Catholicism here, but because of the scandals, he then converted to Orthodoxy. We know that the Orthodox basically do withdraw. They don't really engage the culture the way Christ calls us to, as salt, light, and leaven. Jesus here wants us to glorify the Lord, not by drawing us apart from the world, but to draw us into him, and then together with him send us into the world as light, salt, and leaven. Jesus repeats it twice. We don't belong to the world any more than he did. And because we don't, precisely we can go in and lift the whole world up. Jesus will continue with this prayer tomorrow. Prayer that we say during the Mass, but we can see the consequences of the reception of these graces in St. Paul. Today we have the second of two parts of his final words to the Christians among whom he had labored for 2 years in Ephesus, whom he loved very much. St. Paul suffered so much in Ephesus. It's unbelievable. We don't have him in the sections of the Acts of the Apostles that the Church has us read. But you should never forget the name of Alexander the Coppersmith from Acts 16. We will all have our Alexander the Coppersmith. He mentions him in another letter, who did me great harm. He suffered so much there. But he loved the people enough that he stayed. And this was the time where he was going to be saying goodbye here on earth, that they'd never see his face again. And he was giving them various instructions, the priests, the presbyters. And the instructions dovetail very much with what Jesus was saying in the upper room. Jesus was asking the Father to protect them from the evil one, that the evil one would be coming after them. So what does St. Paul say to the elders? He basically echoes Jesus' words. First, keep watch over yourselves, because the devil's coming after you. But then keep watch likewise over the whole flock, of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you episcopoi, bishops, overseers is the translation, but that's what it means. in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood. Care for yourself, care for them. Why? Because after my departure, savage wolves will come among you. And they're going to come from two directions. First, they're going to come from the outside. And then they're also going to come from your own group, perverting the truth to draw disciples away after them. That the evil one's going to be trying to do his work from every angle. And we're called to be vigilant for ourselves and for others. And the greatest defense is that consecration in the truth of the Lord's word. Because these very men will come trying to pervert the truth. So we need to convert always to the truth. Second thing that Jesus stressed that St. Paul echoes is about this mission that's been given. And so St. Paul similarly talks about that mission. It's better to give than to receive. It's not enough for us to receive the graces of the Lord. The Lord blesses us with them precisely so that we can become his blessing in the middle of the world. And he wants us to lavishly pass on that blessing. And the third thing Jesus talks about that St. Paul resonates is about consecration. Just as Jesus consecrated himself so that we might be consecrated in the truth of his word, so St. Paul prays, I commend, I entrust, I consecrate you, we could similarly say, to God and to that gracious word of his that can build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are consecrated. St. Paul had dedicated his entire life so that we might be dedicated entirely. And we learn from his example how to respond fully to Jesus' prayer. Every Mass we enter into is an opportunity for us live to join Jesus in the upper room, where the words that he prayed in today's Gospel are eternal. He has prayed these words so that our joy might be complete, so that we might, through communion with him, enter into communion with Father and Holy Spirit and become one body, one spirit in Christ. And it's by this means, with his blessing, that we will be able to go out in peace, glorifying the Lord by our life. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.